David, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good on you. Good morning, Howard. Good morning, Zanati.
Morning. Kuma. Oh, wow, jeez, guys.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, white people. Zanati Kuma. Gosh, like how Santon, hey?
I heard about the sharks this morning, Howard.
Yeah, quite a thing, hey?
Yeah.
No great whites.
I think you're onto something.
well, hold on. I'm on something or I'm onto something?
I think both.
Yeah,
both.
Fair enough. I hear that. So yeah, no, it is a big problem in the Cape area. Not a great white spotted.
It's incredible.
I don't know. I can play with this for hours.
Right. I can hear an article in this.
Right. There's definitely something somewhere.
Something.
Speaking of articles, we are going to chat to Lubomaya Kiso a little bit later. He's actually traveling, so he said he'll let us know when we can chat to him. He'll be at an airport. But, I've asked him to weigh in on the controversy, around the death of somebody like Gavin Watson, a penny sparrow. And that's, of course, in reference to an article that I wrote yesterday saying, well, I have no intention of mourning the death of Gavin Watson. I was inspired to write that when I saw this incredible, the accolades that the ANC heaped upon the dead guy because of whatever reason they chose to do that. And I'm saying, I don't think that is necessary at all. So I've asked Lubomaya Kiso to join that conversation and just to get his views, because obviously we do want to balance being respectful to the dead, but also, I don't think we need to be silly. So we're going to do that in just one moment. Time is 12 minutes past 8. I'd love your thoughts on anything that is on your mind. 34519 or 0618951019. Time is 8:14. I'm Howard Feldman. This is Your Morning Mayhem 101.9 Chai FM. Anonymous says, in fact, you're doing all of the moms a huge favor by having a parenting talk for dads. I'll stay anonymous for this. So what's interesting about this SMS is that it actually says so much about responsibility. And the message says that moms are responsible for parenting, and it'll actually be a good thing for the dads to listen in.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a bit of a cliche because I think things have changed over the years where, you know.
Well, that's actually what I wanted to get to, is have they? But, yeah. But let's hear.
Yeah, I think it has, you know, mm-hmm. where typically, you know, the dad is completely or very absent and working, and the mom is the person who does, all the parenting. But I do think for me there is something to that as well where it does seem like dads, you know, I suppose do take a secondary role, compared to the mom, in most situations. And obviously we try not to generalize, but that is the case, certainly that I experience. So I think for me, it is it's very important that we do talk specifically about each parent, because I think they do
play different roles.
Because
we have in fact gone from, you know, I know in my father's day, and I know my father-in-law said the same thing, was they weren't even allowed to be at the birth. Mm. They were the ones, you know, the proverbial sort of pacing up and down outside the ward, so with a cigar in their hand kind of a thing until the baby was born, and then they were told that they had a child. But now we've gone to announcement to say, we are pregnant, and I can throw up from that because we're not pregnant. Actually, the mother is pregnant. You might be an expectant father, but you're certainly not pregnant.
Absolutely.
So we've gone from one extreme to completely the other, which I think is absolutely,
yeah. Absolutely. But I do
squeamish. I mean, it makes me cringe.
Yeah, but I think it's so important that fathers are present and available. But
yes.
But I do still think that there is a degree of pressure on dads to be the man, to be the masculine part of the relationship, you know, when it comes to parenting one's child.
Just wait till dad gets home.
Yeah, wait till dad gets home. Dad will, yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And dad's the one who meets out the punishment, or dad's the one who is less emotional. You know, and I think for me, there is still, you know, something out there, you know, the unwritten law, where dads, you know, we spoke about it a few weeks ago, where, I don't know if we, can I use the word woke? Really.
That's just Zanati's word, you've got to ask her.
Zanati?
Yeah, no, you have Zanati my permission. You have my permission. Oh, wow, okay.
Thank you, Zanati. Where we are woke when, for example, taking your daughter shopping for clothes.
Right.
That should be something that shouldn't be looked at twice. It shouldn't be unusual, that we underestimate dad's
ability to do so.
Right. I think the thing that does still stand true for a lot of dads, and it sounds like such a cliche, is around expressing vulnerability and expressing emotion. And I think there is still this feeling that and this pressure for males to be the ones who don't cry, who are the ones that are strong, who don't show vulnerability. And I think one of the first things I'd like to say to dads is that love is a verb. And what I mean by that is that you can't just say, I love you. Well, you can, I suppose, but it's about showing it, because it's so much more powerful and real and authentic. When a father says to a child, I love you, and isn't physical with their child, and doesn't show emotion with their child, then there is this lack of authenticity about it. So I think the first thing I would say to dads is don't be afraid to love like a verb. Instead of
love is a verb, right?
Absolutely. Is a verb,
so. Treat love as a verb.
Absolutely.
Melinda says, dads do get to pick and choose when they want to be involved. Mom just has to do the rest. No choice. I think that I hear that. I think that's absolutely true. I don't know if it's right or wrong because people have roles, but I think what Melinda's saying is absolutely right.
Well, it is still. I see that as well, that the majority of parenting setups is the mom who might have a part-time job.
Well, I'll tell you an observation that I've made, certainly in mentoring and working with different companies, and I think it's actually unbelievable that this is still the case, is you can have women, it might not be a part-time job. She might be an executive, she might be working full-time or whatever it would be. From my observation, and of course it's not the case in 100% of people, but in my sort of sense of this is that while mom is still sitting at work, no matter who she is, if she is the executive, if she's a senior officer of thousands of people, she's still worrying about the kids. And I find that dads are able, through conditioning or whatever it would be, to go to work, and no matter what he does, he's not particularly worried about his kids. It's mom's responsibility if somebody's got a temperature.
I would agree with you, and I think for me, I've seen exceptions when the dad is very hands-on and is organizing lifts, but
it's unusual.
But it is unusual. So I would agree with the listener that, the mom is the person who is driving the homework, is driving the lifts, and when I mean driving, might not be physically, but actually organizing them. And I think that's another message to dads, is that, so often I get this, that the dad comes home and gets a less amount of time with the child. So the dad wants to make time special. Dad wants to not make that time a time of setting limits and boundaries. I often hear that from dads saying, oh, I see my child so little. I don't want to be the bad guy.
To have that time in conflict, right. Spend that time in conflict.
And I think that's what I would appeal to dads is actually, it doesn't have to be either or. It doesn't have to be if you're setting limits and boundaries in that time that you see your child. That it makes it spoilt or it messes up that time. It's so important that your child sees you supporting your partner. Very important. And to take that a step further, we always talk here on the show about being role models, and it is essential. And obviously it's the same thing with moms to dads. We're not being sexist here, but it's very important that dads are seen to respect their partners. Dads are seen not to talk down to their partners, not to contradict their partners and support their partners, because I can't tell you how many children would then, if the mom's made fun of or the mom's, contradicted or undermined, by the dads, then the children start to do that. It's no surprise because they're seeing.
That's the modeling.
That's the modeling. So important to support your partner. And very importantly, if you do have disagreements, because that's life, is do it when the children are at school or away and agree on a different way of doing things. But to contradict your partner is it's really undermining and it's very dangerous.
That said, David, one of the concerns that I have with that is that kids are very, very astute. So if you're sitting around a table and mom says something that dad might disagree with and he keeps quiet or he outwardly agrees with her, I think the act of agreeing with her is important because that's what the kids see. But the reality is, I think that people, and kids are smart enough to pick up that he doesn't actually.
Absolutely. But it's really about, you know, there's a very big difference between, you know, keeping quiet, noting that in your head, you know, and saying, oh, no, you're wrong. I disagree with you completely. I think the way you're handling the situation with the children is unacceptable.
Yeah.
So I think for me, there's a degree, and children do pick that up. But I think for me, very important, especially for younger kids, not to have these disagreements. And obviously, we're not talking about the smaller ones. You know, maybe he can go to his friend tomorrow. Maybe we can make a plan about that. No, I think he can stay up and watch TV till 10 o'clock. You know, why are you being so harsh with him? Right. You know, those kind of...
Right, and because then it becomes a team or team A against the mom or whatever that would be.
Absolutely.
And I think that does happen often. I think that does.
And so that's...
Primarily because men are children.
Yeah, sure, I tell you sometimes. You know, I think it's so important that mom and dad look after their relationship. And that's why I'm saying to dads, take not a sexist thing, or mom take dads out, or dad take mom out, and go and have chats and connect and make sure that you're on a similar page when it comes to certain things, and plan ahead if you know that there's something.
Yeah, it's interesting. We often have this where we'll be saying, okay, we're going to go out for dinner, we're going to go out for breakfast, whatever, and the kids will say, excuse me, like, aren't we invited?
Yeah.
And I'll say, well, did you invite me out with you? Did you invite us out with
exactly.
you on Saturday night when you went to friends or you went to a party?
Absolutely.
Like, why do we always have to have you? We don't want you.
Or when you're talking with your kids around and they go, excuse me, can you include me in this conversation?
Yeah, exactly.
Can you speak child?
Right, exactly. So,
another very important thing. And again, you know, we've got to be careful not to always, you know, assume dads are the more aggressive, dads are the more, but very importantly around hitting children as a consequence. And I think for me, you know, it is a generalization, but I see
we don't still do that anymore, do we?
Oh, we do, I'm afraid. That when we lose our temper, when we're stressed.
Well, that's even the worst time to do
that. No, when we're stressed and things are really tight out there, you know, you have less patience, and you've got more a probability of two things. Not only raising your hand to your child, but raising your voice. And I think for me, it's so important that, moms also do this, but I think dads are so much more prone to threaten physical, consequences.
Right, because they use their physicality. Men are taught to use their physicality.
Yes.
And unfortunately, when that now translates back into the family, that becomes problematic, even if it's just a threat. Kim Fine says, what astounds me is that dads can always exit the family and, for example, go away, but moms can never do that. And that's exactly what Melinda was saying. That seems to be a theme, and it's exactly what Anonymous sort of is saying as well, is that men really do to some extent
take a second.
They're able to dip in and dip out.
Right.
And no matter what we've done and how far we've come in sort of gender equality. But maybe that shouldn't be an aspiration. You know, we assume that absolute gender equality should be an aspiration. Maybe it shouldn't be. Maybe, you know, the reality is, and certainly I've noticed this with and my wife has noticed it, we often speak about it, is no matter when we look at some young couples that are very, very equal. At the end of the day, when the kid wants comforting, they want their mom. And there's nothing obviously the times that they want their dad for different things, maybe for the feeling of security, maybe for something else. But there is a natural difference between mom and dads. And maybe we need to actually celebrate what those are and start from there.
Absolutely. I think for me, you know, I think it's mom and dad for a reason. And I think they do offer something very special. And I think developmentally, children do gravitate sometimes at certain ages towards mom and then sometimes to dad. But they do. But I do think for me that cliche around, you know, or the generalization that we buy into, that, as you say, dads dip in and out. That dads, I think for me, you know, we assume are much more busy and haven't got the time. Which might be the case, but I think for me a very important point as well when it comes to dads is that, you know, and it might be relate to moms as well, is it's not about being there all the time, but it's about choosing the important times to be there. So I think that's also very important to communicate with your, you know, with your partner, with your wife, is when do you need my help? Not, I'll arrive when you know,
when it
suits me,
right,
or when I think it's, you know, going to work.
Because I've got
you.
Something else on. If mom's got something else on, for example, well, she might have to cancel
this. So I would say to moms out there, don't be afraid to talk to dads about when you need them most. And for dads to make as much time as possible for their children. And, you know, one of the amazing things, I had a dad the other day who has a regular, surprise for his daughter. He'll take off work or a few hours and meet his daughter after school and take her out for lunch. And when I talk to her,
isn't that wonderful?
She says, and
these will be the memories that she has.
She says it's better than her birthday because
to some extent, this is what's almost so unfair.
Yes.
Because if mom had to take her out after school, that'll be very nice. They went out or they didn't or whatever. But if dad has to do it,
and
I think that's got to be an enormous frustration.
It is.
For moms.
And that's why I think for me as dads, our appeal to you is to try and make special times for mom to be away from the children. And number two, for special times with their children. So today, and I know again, it sounds like a cliche, but it could be anything.
Right.
You know, I have set up a daughter mom afternoon where you guys can go. And again, we don't have to be gender specific, where we go off to the spa and you guys just bond together, or whether you go play tennis together or you go to a movie together. Really encourage, you know, fun times between mom and child, rather than it's always, have you done your homework? Are you on time?
Melinda says, dad comes home tired, too tired to deal with the kids. Who asks if mom is tired and who steps in when mom is tired? And I think that is I think what Melinda's saying speaks to a lot. I mean, certainly when our kids were younger, even now sometimes I've come in, you know, I've been at it since 4 o'clock in the morning. I come in 6 or 7 o'clock at night, like, and then there's some drama going on, and I thought, I don't know if I can deal with this.
Yep.
And it's absolutely not an acceptable answer. I get that. And that's what Melinda is saying. Time is 8:29. We'll be back with David Abramson just after some ads, after news headlines. We'd love you to participate in this conversation. 34519 or 0618951019. Have you found something or an idea that works in this situation? In other words, mom getting time, mom and their children getting time, dad to having different times, different responsibilities. What have you found that works? Hey?
Could they not wait?
I mean, they have to do the safety announcement now.
Honestly.
In the highly unlikely event of a depressurized cabin.
Priorities.
You know, exactly. Please help yourself before you help the other passengers.
It's interesting, Howard. We were having a discussion last night at the dinner table. I don't know if it's relevant, but my daughter said, you know, it's so interesting.
We've never used relevance as a reason to discuss anything on the show, David. But we're not intending to start now.
In relation to death, she said, you know, it's interesting how Jews, we don't give flowers when people die. We give rocks.
That's
and
cute,
it's true. Yeah. You know, it was just such an interesting observation.
It is funny.
But, I think for me, it's a very interesting, you know, discussion that you wanted to have with Lubo around.
I think it's an important discussion,
how
actually.
It's so, you know, when people pass away, how often, you know, their legacy is, it's so hard to talk in a negative way about someone who's passed on, and how people find it so difficult to, if there is a lot of negative, if there is things that really stand out as something that wasn't clearly not good about their lives or choices that they made. You know, we don't hear about that. We don't hear people going, well, listen, you know, he was a good person, but you know, there's a bit of fraud on the side, and you know, and he wasn't very present as a father.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I think,
well, I did find that interesting just on a very personal level. Obviously, you know, I had a very real relationship with my late mom. We were very close, but she sometimes drove me completely dilly. In fact, I started writing a book, which I had to not continue because I was writing it while she was alive, and it was kind of tongue in cheek, and it was like emails I never sent or messages I never sent. Yes. And think it would be things like, mom, if I haven't answered you, you know, with the, you know, please stop leaving messages. You know, 6 messages in 5 minutes isn't going to help me. I'm never going to pick those up. Like if I'm, you know, those sort of things. And there was obviously that there are things that our parents drive us nuts about, and we will drive our children nuts about. But then after she passed away, those things start to fade completely. And actually what you remember is the big picture, and you remember the warmth and the love and the legacy stuff and the care. You remember that stuff. Those things fade. But I would imagine that if a parent was an abuser, and if there was a horror associated with a childhood, that even after that parent passed away, those things would be the legacy things that they that would be remembered. I mean, you're a psychologist. I would just imagine that.
I would agree that if, you know, those extreme situations where there is abuse, and of course that's the legacy. But I think for me, what we struggle to do is, and I think how it, not because I'm trying to make you feel woke, is that I think what you do very well is, and I think we struggle to do, is just to laugh at our idiosyncrasies and our mannerisms and our, you know, to get up at a bar mitzvah or a, you know, at a simcha and say, you know, my mom can really irritate me at times,
right,
you know,
right.
And that is, I think,
it's real.
It's real and a breath of fresh air.
But you
and
think people, she doesn't know that?
100%.
I actually had so much trouble with that. So my grandma's sister passed away, in May.
Right.
She really was not a nice person.
I remember you went down for, yeah.
She was not a nice person. And I was tasked with speaking on behalf of the grandchildren.
Oh my word.
And I was like,
It's a one day you thought, why am I in radio?
No, guys, she really was not a nice person.
Right. So how did you deal with it?
What did you do?
I used humor. And I was like, the thing is, everybody knew that she was not a nice person. So I was like, I can't tell people that she was a nice person when she wasn't. So
did you
I
say
told
that?
Them. Yeah, I told them.
Okay, that's
but I
brave.
Did it, but I did it in a humorous way. And obviously, you know, I laughed at, you know, the stuff that she did, but it's a really difficult thing because not everyone that dies is nice.
It's true.
Oh, sorry, David.
No, absolutely. And I think for me, that's the thing is that it becomes a bit generic, you know, when you go and people are eulogized and people are spoken about. You know, I think for me there is a place, there is really a place to be real. Not in a harsh way, in a destructive way, but I think people would have, you know, really, Howard and you, and as I said, you do that quite well and you're very open about your kids and their different, you know, when I say hardships, but they're different,
right.
You know,
challenges,
difficult challenges that they've had. And you really, really, I think people, you know, again, sometimes people are like, oh, sure, that was...
Well, I'm not getting such a good response to this article yesterday, but all right, you know, 360 negative comments never killed anyone.
If you were sensitive.
If I was sensitive, and I would note that. But but the point is this, is why do we have to sanitize it? And I understand with a loved one where obviously anyone we're close to, there are things that annoy us or irritate us but because we love people as people, we love them for all of that, with all of that, despite all of that, because of all of that. It's all very confusing. We love the whole person. So.
And wouldn't it be like a refreshing if we start off a eulogy by saying, my mom or my dad was not perfect. They were human. They had amazing.
Actually, interestingly enough, and I'm trying to think of the exact wording in one of the prayers we say in death and mourning is, and in fact, at the burial, and I think we even said at the Shiva house, which is the period of mourning afterwards, there's, and I don't remember the Hebrew phrase, but the English is translated because there is nobody, basically nobody perfect who sins, who doesn't sin. Mm. You know, welcome them, you know, it's sort of asking God to welcome them back, that person back. And we're saying it very, very openly that person is just a whole real person. Hopefully there's more good than bad to it. But when you've got a death of somebody that is remembered for bad, a Gavin Watson is remembered for wholesale stuff. And
sorry, I'm cracking myself up. I'm reading one of the comments.
What's
on
that?
Your Facebook.
Oh dear. Oh dear. I don't even want to know. What do they say?
The last part of it.
What do they say?
You should be ashamed of yourself. You can't even forgive a dead man for stealing money. Taxpayers' money. Go get yourself a heart.
Go get yourself a heart. Well, maybe that's why I'm not sensitive. Because I just don't have one.
But, interesting,
but should we be forgiving this guy for stealing taxpayers' money? Because this guy is saying you can't even forgive a dead man for stealing taxpayers' money. But should we not forgive just because he's dead?
But the thing is, I think there's a balance. Did you see that Mr. Greasy?
Yes.
Actually posted condolences to his wife and his family.
Yes.
And was very sorry for their loss. And I think for me, we often think in extremes. You know, was he generally a bad guy? Did he do, you know, was he
correct?
But
David, there's a point that And that's my argument. There's a point that the bad overwhelms the good. It's interesting that. Listen to this unsigned SMS. My dad was an alcoholic and extremely abusive. Luckily, my mom left him when I was 9. But 4 years ago, my dad died, and I cannot cry and mourn him. Mm. But he was my dad, so I do respect him. But he was not loving or a good dad, and I just can't mourn that.
That's real.
Thank you for sending that in. That's so real. Powerful.
Absolutely.
Because that's the essence of what we're talking
about.
That
is the essence. And we can, I think it's about looking at, like we're looking at Mr. Watson, and we're saying, what life did he lead? What legacy did he leave? But at this, and if it is negative and he was corrupt and clearly, was very aggressive with his employees, we saw footage and, you know, the bottom line is though that I like what Mr. Greasy did. He said,
yes.
Even though this is this man's legacy, some, you know, people close to him are hurt. People close to him are going to miss him.
Maybe drives a beautiful Ferrari or Lamborghini, whatever he does, because of that. So there's also maybe something else there. That said, if this happened to a Greasy, for example, there'd be more conflict. Why? For me, because whatever happened prior and whatever his motivation post, he still was the guy that went to the state capture inquiry and tried to make good. Now I don't know what his motivation is, and I probably will never know. But here's a guy that attempted to right a wrong. Penny Sparrow never righted a wrong. Jeffrey Epstein didn't right a wrong. Jeffrey Epstein died with his victims still traumatized and unable to find any closure because of his death. He denied them of that in his death.
Right. And I think there is, if you see, his legacy is not a very good one. And I think clearly...
Well, that's the point.
That's the point.
So even if he gave charity to someone or worked at a Salvation Army soup kitchen, does that on Sundays, does that negate some of what he did? No, because the big picture legacy stuff is bad. And I'm saying...
Yes.
I'm saying that's it. When the unsigned talks about her father who was abusive and an alcoholic, very, very hard, and he wasn't loving, very hard to come back from that and almost rewrite that history.
It's impossible to. And I think, you know, it's interesting, you know, High FM run an advert that says, you know, your brand is what people say when you're out the room. And I think for me, you know, really, that is really a true legacy. What will people say about you when you are gone? Not when there are a huge, you know, public announcements to be made, but around the braai, around the Shabbos table. That is a person's legacy. That's a true legacy. So what will they say about Epstein? What will they say about, you know, Gavin Watson when they are standing around the braai? That is their true legacy. Not when you're standing up in public needing to portray a certain image, you know, for the person.
Absolutely. Time is 8:46. We're going to take some music. When we come back, David is going to give us some fathering and parenting tips. We've already got one, which is make love a verb. That sounded terrible. Yes. All right, fine. But we're going to get more just after this.
101.9 High FM. One nation, one station.
I might find that they are closed. Because I have no heart.
For you. Clearly they're open for Kevin, not you.
Yeah, exactly. Because I can't forgive a man who stole millions from taxpayers. What's wrong with me? Time is 8:49, about to go 8:50. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM. We're talking a number of different subjects all happening at the same time. David Abramson, psychologist in a private practice with us in studio. And we're talking, of course, also about parenting as with specific reference to fathers.
Yeah, and I think we need to talk about it more and more. And I think what we're talking about this morning, just to really summarize, because I think we have gone to two different topics, is, yeah, absolutely, love is a verb. So I think it's very, very important for fathers to show emotion, to be physically affectionate with their children, not just to say it. I think also very important is for fathers to show vulnerability, that it's okay to be vulnerable. And I think that's particularly important for boys, where the message is, you know, boys don't cry, boys don't show emotion. And then the other thing we were talking about is, you know, supporting your spouse, but not only supporting your spouse, very specifically showing your children that you are, that you respect your spouse, that there is, and even I know I often have, you know, when you, if you kiss your wife, your kids go, oh, gross, gross. Oh, God, yeah, get her, you know.
Yeah.
The bottom line is it's so important for them to see that love and affection between mom and dad. So show affection. Show affection to your partner. Show affection to your children. And then again, I think what is very important is around being, you know, physically, spanking, hitting. And there is this cliche around dad, you know, being the physical person or even raising their,
tough guy,
raising their voices. There really is no need to hit a child, and there's really, and of course at times there we raise our voices, but not as a matter of course. You know, we can teach our children that we can resolve things in a assertive way, in a productive way, without screaming at them and shouting at them. So you know, I think it is it is very important also for dads, and you know, as I said, I think it's come out a lot in, you know, for the feedback from our listeners, is never try not to, please don't contradict your partner in front of your children. And very importantly, it's an interesting thing. I had some parents in my office a couple of days ago, and the dad was so proud. The mom was, had something on, and the dad had, you know, got the children, had kind of organized supper, got the children all bathed, and mom came home and he was like, had his hands out to say like, and she said, what do you want, a medal or a monument? Yeah.
I do this every day, every single day. So once you did it.
Yeah. And I like that. Like, a medal or monument, which one do you prefer?
Right.
To really appreciate that.
That said, David.
Mm. Yes.
What happens if she came home and said, and he was like, you know, hands out saying, look what I've done. Yeah. And she said, thank you for doing that. Yeah, really made such a difference to me.
It would be.
Don't you think you'd be doing it again?
Absolutely.
Versus, what do you want, a medal or a monument?
Absolutely.
Idiot. So okay, I had the idiot fall for effect.
Right.
But the point is that what's the goal here? The goal is to try and encourage people to share the load.
Exactly.
So by saying that, which is, might be funny, you know, do you want a medal or a monument? I do this every day.
Yes.
And she's absolutely right. That doesn't help.
Right.
To encourage dad to do this again.
And I think that's.
In fact, I can tell you if it was me.
Sure.
I would react exactly the opposite, as childish as that is.
No, absolutely. I think most people would.
Right.
But I think the important thing also is for dads to, that I don't think dads ask enough of moms generally. What do you need from me? What would be the most helpful? Yes, if I am coming home at 5 o'clock, if I am coming home.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry.
What's happened now?
I don't know if I can read this SMS. Mm. I'm actually going to protect the identity of the person who sent it to me.
Okay.
Even though it's probably one of the funniest SMSs I've ever received. Unsigned says, was Gavin Watson an absent dad? He is now. I have no words.
Yeah. I think. Should we just play a song?
It's not often that I am left speechless.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is Gavin, what was Gavin Watson absent? Oh my word! But that is. That's cheeky. Is it that Uma to say something now? Because I've got nothing to say.
I don't know.
And yeah, I'm going to protect Baruch's identity because it's, wow. Yeah. No, because it's, yeah, one doesn't want people to know that was him.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. You were saying. I was just speechless. I was just taken completely off track.
That's what you get for mixing topics. Huh?
Right,
that's
exactly.
Your fault.
Well, maybe in fact this brought it all together. This is the theme. This is what tied it all back together again. So
I think what's, you know, the point of asking each other what would really help you, and not assuming what would help. And I think that's important, working as a team. And, you know, again, not assuming when you come home that it's all about you. What do I need from the children? What have I missed out on? It's about what can I do to help, you know, be the other parent? And I think that's important, working with your spouse, working with your partner in a true partnership, no matter what the roles are, if the mom is working, if the dad is working, really just trying to help each other out and seeing what the real need is. But I do think for me, even though it sounds like a cliche, the takeaway is dads, show love. You can be vulnerable. Say sorry. Apologize to your children. It's okay. We all make mistakes. And be as present as possible.
All right, so those four tips, I think, absolutely incredibly, incredibly valuable. Time is 8:56. David Abramson, thank you, as always.